Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Right now, we're going to do transition real quickly into an incredible story about Bono and Eugene Peterson. Bono is the lead singer for U2, a rock band that's been around for a very, very long time, very successful. And Bono came across Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible. It's called The Message. You may have read it before, been aware of it. It translates the Bible into a more modern English. And Bono's been known to really just talk so much about the Message Bible. He really enjoys it. And they came together, this Bible translator and this rock musician, come together to do a documentary on the Book of Psalms. I mean, you wouldn't imagine these two coming together. Mm-hmm. You watch this.
Mr. Peterson, Eugene, my name is Bono. I'm the singer with the group U2, and wanted to sort of video message you my thanks and our thanks and the band for this remarkable work you've done. There's been some great translations, some very literary translations, but no translation that I've read that speaks to me in my own language. So I want to thank you for that. Take a rest now, won't you? Bye.
I never heard of Bono before. And then one of my students showed up in class with a copy of the Rolling Stones. Rolling Stones? And in it, there was an interview with Bono in which he talked about me and the Message, and he was in some, you know, slangy language about who I was, and I said, "Who's Bono?" And they were dumbfounded. I'd never heard of Bono, but that's not the circle that I really travel in very much. So that's how I first heard about him. And then people started bringing me his music, and I listened to his music, and I thought, I like this guy. And I was starting to, after a while, I started was start being quite pleased that he knew me.
Yes, but the rest of the story is when he invited you to come and hang with them for a while, you turned him down.
I was pushing a deadline on the Message. I was finishing up the Old Testament at the time, and I really couldn't do it.
You may be the only person alive who would turn down the opportunity just to make a deadline. I mean, come on. It's Bono, for crying out loud.
Dean, it was Isaiah.
Yeah.
The Old Testament is a long book, much longer than the New Testament. And it did take a long time and a lot of devotion on both of our parts to have that happen.
I have to say, in the last years, Eugene's writing has kept me sane as this is, if you call it sane, which you probably won't. Run with the horses. That's a powerful manual for me. And it includes a lot of incendiary ideas. You know, I hadn't really thought of of Jeremiah as a performance artist. Why do we need art? Why do we need the lyric poetry of the Psalms? Why do we need art? Because the only way we can approach God is, if we're honest, through metaphor, through symbol. So art becomes essential, not decorative. I learned about art. I learned about the prophets. I learned about Jeremiah with that book, and that really changed me.
And then several years later, this was about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, Bono would like us to come to Dallas, to my Jan and me, to come to Dallas and for a concert. We went to the concert. He was very sensitive to us. We were really well cared for, had really good seats. And I'd never seen a mash pit before. That was my introduction to the mash pit. Is it a pit?
It's a mosh pit.
Mosh pit. Okay. You can see how uneducated I am in this world. And we had it was a 3-hour lunch. And we just had a lovely conversation. It was just very personal, relational. He didn't put me on any kind of a pedestal, and I didn't him. So we were very natural with each other. But I was just, through that 3-hour conversation, I was just really taken by the simplicity of his life, of who he was, who he is. And there was no pretension to him. And so I, at that point, I just, you know, felt like he was a companion in the faith.
See crowds burn, but I know I can shape history if I can find just one. Anybody can burn in a crowd. I want to find someone that'll burn by themselves.
We had a chance to be in Alabama at Church of His Presence with Pastor John Kilpatrick recently, and Rose came up, and shout out to Rose in Alabama, and she was talking about how she's already began to abide with the Lord. We have a short period of time. If you don't know his voice right now, you need to learn his voice, because there's so many people going to jump up now. They're going to jump up and say they heard from God. And this is some of the words you're going to hear. You're going to hear the whole prophetic work coming on VFN TV soon that was given by John Kilpatrick, just recently. Mm-hmm. And that God spoke to him specifically in his dream. And we have 4 months, and then we're going to harvest whatever we choose to do. And it's not going to be good if we don't repent. But if we repent, which means abide with the Lord, begin to live a life, a righteous life, righteous in Christ through his mercy and grace. But hey, if we never pick the Bible up at all, how if the Bible is full of truth, I mean, think about this. If the Bible is full of truth, and the enemy is a liar and the father of lies, how are we going to identify that he's lying to us if we don't know the truth?
Right. Got to know which is which.
It's like Josiah. He didn't know what a lie was until he found the word of God hidden in the temple. He said, go clean that church building out. Right?
Look what something we found. Like. Yeah.
And all of a sudden the priest runs out and goes, hey, I just happened to find the scriptures here. Right? And when he read them, you know what he found out? I know we got to go to break. But listen, you know what he found out?
We're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
Is it good? God is mad at us.
God's angry with us.
Yeah.
He said, God's angry with us. And it wasn't God got angry because he read the word. He just found out God's emotions that were already going along. He was angry. He was about to destroy a nation. But he stopped it because he understood and got in the word. You've got to go to iabide.org today. Get your abiding plan. Get on Emmaus Road and become a disciple. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Look at the menu for Hello Church. It drops down. You have Emmaus Road. And you choose your path.
In 1943 America, Dennis Day was singing I'll Be Home for Christmas.
In Germany, 800 prisoners of the Third Reich were awaiting trial in a military prison. Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer was among them, hoping to be released by Christmas. That didn't happen.
In December 1943, Bonhoeffer wrote a Christmas letter from his prison cell. He wrote that it could be easy to despair, but that this Christmas would be more meaningful to those in such a lonely and desolate place. He wrote that Jesus was born in a stable because there was no room for him in the inn. A prisoner grasps this better than others.
After being moved from one prison and concentration camp to another, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed in April 1945.
Engage with the Bible and words of hope in perilous times.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Bono and Eugene Peterson, absolutely amazing. And this is what, you know, VFN KB is all about. Kingdom, you know, listen, we're supposed to influence all the mountains, right? All the mountains of culture. And this is the, you know, arts and entertainment. Here you have a lead singer of one of the, you know, legendary, you know, biggest rock bands, you know, in the world, hanging out with a Bible translator.
How awesome is that?
And he's connecting with God. He writes a song, you know, about the book, Psalm 40. And it's just amazing. I mean, this we're supposed to do, influence society like this, because there's something in the creative, there's something in our heart that really longs for God, even if when we don't know God. And then when we run into God, we go, I've been looking for you. And he says, no, I've been looking for you. And we meet. I want you to watch Eugene Peterson, the Bible translator of the Message Bible, and Bono actually have a conversation over a kitchen table about the book of Psalms and about King David and how raw you know, David was in the writings, what he was led to pen out by the, you know, unction of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing because you're seeing this interaction take place. Watch this.
Now look at this.
It's so good to have you here.
Great to see you.
Oh, God bless you.
Well, God's blessed you, that's for sure. Look where you live. This is quite a spot.
You know, I just realized, never been to Montana.
Haven't you really?
So many gifts already. just since being here.
And welcome to the Flathead. That's what I always like to say to people when they come.
What is your earliest memory of the Psalms, and what sort of impression did it have on you both?
I was 12 years old when I discovered the Psalms. I picked up the Bible and I started reading, and somebody had told me that the Psalms were important, so I started with the Psalms, and I was totally confused. Because I grew up in a culture where every word in the Bible was the word of God, literally. Don't mess around with it. It's just, that's the way it is. And I was starting to read that he keeps my tears in his bottle, shields, javelins, rock. God is a rock. come on. And after about 2 or 3 weeks of this, I just was just confused, and I thought, I'm missing something. And I'd never heard the word metaphor before, but I learned what a metaphor was, not by knowing the name, but by just observing what's going on in the Psalms. So I think the Psalms are important because they, for some people, like me, at 12 years old, they showed me that imagination was a way to get inside the truth.
I remember the Psalms from the little Church of Ireland church. As a child going, I remember thinking, great words, shame about the tunes. Except for The Lord is My Shepherd, which was a great tune. And I really like that. This is good. Words and melodies. Ah! They have this rawness, the brutal honesty of whether it's David or not, it doesn't matter. The psalmist is brutally honest about the explosive joy that he's feeling and the deep sorrow or confusion. And it's that that makes, that sets the Psalms apart for me. And I often think, gosh, well, why isn't church music more like that? The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. Is that right?
It's beautiful. It was right.
Powerful. Mm. I mean, absolutely powerful. And this is what the Bible does. I mean, when man can get the Word of God in a language that they can understand, the Word of God transforms your heart. It doesn't matter who you are, if you're, you know, somebody that no one knows, or you're an international rock superstar. Listen, when God speaks to your heart, He speaks to your heart.
That's right.
And he got
all of us need God.
Bono hanging out with Eugene Peterson, you know, singing the Psalms. This is just too cool. But just the beginning of what happens when you go after God and you fulfill your destiny and your purpose, listen, other people get blessed. Mm. And I thank God for Eugene Peterson, because if he wasn't doing what he was doing, Bono wouldn't be touched and be influencing the people that he's influencing today.
We'll be right back.
The world's waiting for a hope. They're waiting for another conversation that only you and your assignment can provide. Daniel was just faithful to his assignment, and he kept getting called before the kings. They remembered him from generation to generation and said, wait, there's one man who can solve this problem. And I believe that God's releasing people into their assignment. And in their assignment, there's going to be people who hear the whisper of their name, and you're going to find yourself called into places. Maybe you're just a barista, and all of a sudden the head of the whole coffee company comes in and goes, I need to talk to you. I've heard some things that you've done here. And you're like, am I in trouble? No, it's actually the opposite. We're in trouble. We need you right now. I'm hearing these scenarios all over the world right now where Christians are being placed to solve problems and to cure confusion. And it's not just in one genre or area. The beautiful thing about the kingdom is it works in all aspects of life. It's not just like the easy parts of life. It's the hard parts of life. That's when Christianity shines. That's when we're a light, is the hard parts of life. There's two options, and all of a sudden we bring another option. There's no answers. Everything's exhausted, and all of a sudden we show up, and it's like, because we showed up, like when Jesus showed up, another option's presented, and people are like, how is God this good?
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with Him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Bob Costarossa, who is a senior vice president of marketing at Juno Beach, said, John, talk about execution. Well, we all know the person who says, ready, aim, 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 aim. Hey, pull the trigger. Do something. Execution means that you do more than think. You do more than plan. You take the plans that you've thought of and you initiate. You get it started. The greatest gap between successful and unsuccessful people is the gap between knowing and doing. A lot of people know what to do. They just don't do it. You know, the old Nike thing, just do it. Here's what I've discovered. People that just do it are a lot more successful than people who think about doing it. I've never made any money on an idea that I thought that I didn't implement. I've never made a difference in a person's life of who I thought maybe I should encourage, but I decided not to encourage them. It's always the execution of the plan that brings the fruitfulness for the plan. So no more ready, aim, 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 aim. It's ready, aim, fire. Execute. It's the first step to fruitfulness in your life.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We want to also bring you some hope. We want to bring you some encouragement, as we know many of our viewers stand and love Israel, stand for Israel. You know, we've mentioned to you before about a friend, a ministry friend of ours, Avi Mizrahi. He has a messianic outreach, a Do Get ministry in the heart of Tel Aviv. And he sends his greetings. He sends his love. He asks us to share with you to continue to pray for Israel, continue to pray for their ministry. They were used by God to pray during this time to intercede. And thank the Lord for that. We want to just bring you an update on their ministry, so you can kind of see, get a heart and a feel for what they do in Tel Aviv. Watch this.
My name is Avi Mizrahi, and we live here in Tel Aviv, Israel, and it's a beautiful, beautiful city. What's exciting is to see what God is doing. Since I became a believer, accepted the Lord Yeshua into my heart, went to Bible school, I just knew that I want to do one thing. I want to come back to my home city and preach the gospel and make disciples. And that's how we started. And I start going to the streets of Tel Aviv, preaching the gospel, sharing the good news that the Messiah has risen and is alive. And as people responded to the gospel, then the Lord spoke to me to do a discipleship group. So I started doing a small Bible study of 6-7 people, and this home group became a congregation. And that's how we started Adonai Roi Congregation, The Lord is My Shepherd. It's a Hebrew-speaking, Israeli, a local congregation, where people start coming to worship on Saturday, and we have grown from a small group of 6-7 people to 150 people, including children. And it's wonderful to see that indeed Jewish people today are responding to the good news and coming to know Yeshua as their Savior, as their Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. We live in a very exciting times. And then somebody said, we should open a distribution center and feed the poor and the needy. We looked for a place and we rented a place and we opened our distribution center. And today we feed about between 80 to 100 families every month, and we work with the municipality of Tel Aviv. to the social affairs, and they send us families, like Russian immigrants, single mothers, poor people, and we give them bags of food and clothes. And many, many times we had the opportunity, as we do that, they feel the love and the welcoming, and they ask, why you do that? And we share the gospel, we give them a Bible. And then we open this Dugit Messianic Evangelistic Center, which is a coffee house ministry. Dugit means a small fishing boat. We are fishers of men in the heart of Tel Aviv, and we go to the streets, share the gospel with teams, with music, and then invite people for a free cup of coffee, and we have music, live music, and people are very, very open in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is a secular city, people are very open, they want to know what do we believe, and we are able to present the gospel and share the truth. And as we do that, we see the harvest is ready, we see people are opening up, they want to know more, and when they come to know Yeshua, when Jesus comes, he touches them, he changes their life. About a year ago or so, I was invited to Korea to speak on a conference with another pastor about Israel, and we were a few days there. And when I was there, the Lord really spoke to me that what we need is a breakthrough for our city, Tel Aviv. And the Lord really has put in my heart that I need to go and look for a place and build him an altar. Find a place and build an altar of prayer and worship for breakthrough for this city, Tel Aviv, Jaffa. And as soon as I came back, I looked for months and months, looked at different places, and God led me to this building, and we're able to renovate it and dedicate it a year ago. This room is a house of prayer, a prayer tower on the top on the 12th floor that overlooks the whole city of Tel Aviv. And we worship and pray together, and we have now different night watches and different people who come to pray specifically for the salvation of the Israelis, specifically here in Tel Aviv, Yafo. So we really praise the Lord for every opportunity that God gives us, either to the distribution center of the food and the needy, or the Dugit Outreach Coffee Shop Ministry, that we can be right here in downtown, in the heart of Tel Aviv, sharing the gospel and bring people into the kingdom of God. I believe this is the harvest time. This is harvest time. And we need more than ever for people to pray for us, for laborers, and for people to stand with us in such a time as this.
In the midst of tragedy, we want to encourage you of all the great work that's being done in the heart of Tel Aviv. Mm. Listen, it's happening. This is now. Be encouraged. Continue to pray. Pray for Avi and pray for Israel. Pray for the Jews. Not just in Israel, but all over the world.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.